as we go into the sermon today, the message that I want to bring before you this morning is, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let us pause here for a moment. You know, I want us all to remember this, that we are on a battlefield. Every day we are fighting a warfare. We have an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. I'm just telling you, I want us all to draw your mind to the Word of God. And I want you to understand what the Lord wants to talk to you. We all have an enemy. The enemy is Satan and his army. Every day we are fighting a battle. But we need to understand the devices that Satan uses to attract us and to turn us away from God. Satan every day, whether you are aware about it or not, Satan is using many devices. Satan does not want you to come to God. Satan says that we will curse God if we are losing the blessing. That's what he told about Job. If you take away his blessing, he's going to curse you. His wife told, curse God and die. Because she was led by that satanic work in her life. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I continue in him. And so as we come to this word and we are going on this great adventure, I want us to look into the life and the part of the message that we have been going through from the time of Moses. You know that God, I spoke about last time, how God gave Moses the resources to use in God's kingdom. There are two resources that God gave Moses. One was his presence. God said, I will go with you. Number two, God said, take the rod. You have a rod in your hand, and you remember the previous week, not the last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I spoke about the rod that Moses had. And that was when Moses let go the rod in his hand, that rod became the rod of God. God took ownership of that rod. And so with that rod, God started performing a lot of miracles. But as you see, and I want you to understand the symbolism. And through this, the Lord wants to teach us the tactics that Satan uses. And you can relate that in your life. I want you to think about how does we see, we are fighting against an unseen enemy. We cannot see the enemy right in front of us. He is in the spirit world, but he is fighting us every day to turn us away from God. He does not want us to go near to God. He will use any tactics. Even the Sunday morning, maybe you felt, oh, let me just lie in the bed. I don't want to go to church. It's so hard. Especially on Sunday, our body refuses to wake up and sit down and dress up. Oh, it's so early. Why is that church starting at 9:30? I wish it was like 11:30. We could have woken up slowly and had a morning breakfast and gone. No. You know, many times, different ways, Satan uses to not allow us to come closer to God. So the symbolism that I want to speak to you is about Pharaoh. Now, Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents Satan. And the children of Israel represents the fact that God wants them to come out of Egypt and go to the promised land. Everything in the Bible has a symbolic, especially the Old Testament, has a symbolic message that God wants to talk to us. So if Egypt represents the world, Pharaoh represents Satan, and Moses is the representative of God who has been given the task of bringing the people of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. You know, for 400 years, the Israelites were under bondage. They were under hard labor. They had to work day and night for their living. And God said, no, that is not the way I want from you. I want to deliver you out of that. I want to give you an abundant life. And so, as Moses, you know, it is a symbolism of our old life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says that we were walking once in the course of the world. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That is what the word of God says. The prince of the power of the air. That was Satan. He was keeping us in his bondage. Today, if you look around, there are people in bondage. They think they are free, but they are bonded to sin. They are bonded to addictions. They are bonded to their inability to really come out and be the person that God wants them. Their best is not because they are under the bondages of sin. You know, you are doing the lust of the flesh. You are fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And you are the children of wrath. But God wants to rescue us from there. So as I'm telling you, the rescue of the children of Israel from Egypt, everything is a symbol. You know, the final rescue happened with the 10th plague, which is the death of the firstborn. And for the death of the firstborn, we know that every family of Israel was supposed to kill an animal and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, because an animal had to die for them to be delivered. And in our place, Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for us that we would be rescued. I'm just telling you that everything is a symbol. So as we talk about this, the deliverance of the people, the Israelites from Egypt, and the process of salvation, let me tell you that we are delivered from the clutches of Satan. Satan wants to take hold of us. If we have not consecrated every part of our body, mind and spirit to God, there are certain weak areas that Satan will try to take control. And God will use those ways for us to turn away from God. And so we need to understand, this is a greater lesson that you can apply in your life. So when you understand, I want to show you what are the devices that Pharaoh used against letting the children of Israel go and serve God in Egypt. You know, and we need to understand that 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, And please open your Bible to that verse. 2 Corinthians, it's a very beautiful verse. 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You should be aware about your enemy. You should know who your enemy is, so that you are not ignorant about the way that he uses you and he attacks you and takes you away from God. You don't, you know, everything is spiritual because it's a spiritual battle. God does not want us to be ignorant. So we need to understand, we need to know the devices that Satan uses before us. I want you to open your Bibles at this time to Exodus chapter 10. I will use this as a key verse here. Exodus chapter 10 and verses 8 to 11. I want to read a few verses. You don't have to stand up, but just open your Bibles and let us read the verse together here. So Exodus chapter 10 verses 8 to 11. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? So the first question that Pharaoh is asking Moses is, who are going with you? Go and serve, but who are going? And then Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go and we must hold a feast to the Lord. Verse number 10. And he said to them, the Lord is better be with you. When I let you and your little ones go, beware that for evil is ahead of you. And then in verse number 11, he turns around and says, not so, not that quickly. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. I want you to understand the trick of the enemy. The enemy does not want you to serve God with your family. And today I'm going to talk about some of you whose spouses are not with you as you serve the Lord. This is a message for you also. The plan of God is that you should serve God with your family, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. If there is anyone in your family who is not serving the Lord with you, take this as a message of understanding. This is an attack of Satan. Satan does not want you to move forward. So, as I'm bringing this before you, let me give you the background of this, okay? So the first message that God told Moses to tell, you can find it in Exodus chapter 3. Turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 18. And this was the first thing that God told Moses to tell. The God, Lord God of the Hebrews, have met with us, and please let us go for a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. The initial word from God was that you go and tell Pharaoh, let us go on a 3 day journey so that we can sacrifice. Now underline that word sacrifice. That's very important. Okay, so as we continue our reading, we know that the initial plan of God was changed from sacrifice to service. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 23. When Moses says, it says, so I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. You know, from sacrifice to service. And finally, when we come to Exodus chapter 5 verse 1, Moses, when he comes, he says, thus says the Lord God, let my people go that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. You can see there are three things that are used in the reason why Moses tells Pharaoh that he should let the people go. Number one, sacrifice. Number two, service. And number three, holding a feast for God. How do we symbolize that? Sacrifice is a reconciliation, reconciling to God. There has to be a sacrifice if we have to reconcile to God. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, according to the law, almost all things are purified by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. It requires a sacrifice for us to be reconciled to God. So that was the first. And then once we are able to reconcile to God, the second is that we will serve Him. We will be a servant, and that is what we are doing. Once we are reconciled to God, the next element of our life is that we are serving God acceptably. You can see that in Acts chapter 27 verse 23. Just for the reference I'm not giving, there says we need to serve God. And number three is that following the service, there is to be a feasting that speaks about fellowship and gladness. So I want today to take you through basically, how did Pharaoh allow the Israelites to leave Egypt? Today that's the question. And today what I want to do is, we are going to look at six stages in which Pharaoh allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt. He did not allow them just one. It took them six stages for him to allow the people of God to leave Egypt. Number one, the first stage is that Pharaoh outrightly refused Moses' proposition. Moses said, let my people go, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 5 verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. You know, Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let the people go. They are in my hands. They are a very useful community for me. I'm not going to let them go. Because they were a labor force. And Pharaoh was getting a lot of work done by the slaves. And he said, I'm not going to let them go. Because he was holding them under the grip. I just want to tell each and every one of you, this is the way Satan has blinded the eyes of many people. Many times sinners are not coming to the Lord because their eyes are blinded by Satan. And so they are not able to understand the gospel. And they are totally in the world, and they are engaged in the worldly affairs. Many of the Christians also, Satan has blinded your eyes, so you don't understand the gravity of our relationship with God. You give priorities to the things of the world and not of the things of God. This is what Satan does. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Apostle Paul describes like this, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Do you know that many people, their eyes are blinded. They cannot see the gospel that is before them, because they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine on them. God, you know, this Satan has blinded the people's eyes, and they cannot. That's what Pharaoh said. I'm not going to let the people go, whatever happens. And this is the first stage. Second one, that's the second stage I want to tell you, is that Pharaoh gave permission to sacrifice in Egypt itself. Okay, he said, I will allow you to sacrifice, but you cannot leave me. It's like being in the world and doing your work, but not leaving the world. That you are still in the world, you are living as a worldly person, but maybe you are coming to church, maybe you are saying your prayers, maybe you are giving your tithe or whatever, but you are still in the world. You see, in Exodus 8:25, Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron and says, go sacrifice to your God in the land, which means in the land of Egypt. I give you permission, use part of the Egypt, go to one corner, a sacrifice, but I cannot let you go out of Egypt. You know, this is exactly opposite to what was proposed, that they should make a 3-day journey for sacrificing to God. Because God's plan was that the children of Israel would worship God at Mount Horeb. Exodus 3:12 says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God in this mountain. The plan of God was that they would come out of Egypt and they would come to the mountain of God, the Mount Horeb or the Mount Sinai, where they're going to worship me, they're going to reconcile with me, they're going to serve me, they're going to receive my commandments, and I'm going to be a part of their life. And this was what God wanted. You know, today also, Egypt is representing the world. We have been delivered from this present evil world. Galatians 1:4 says, Apostle Paul speaks about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the world that you are living in today, it's evil. It's under the grip of Satan. Satan is the ruler of the world. He does not want you to serve God. He does not want you to reconcile with God. He wants to keep you in his grip. Open your eyes and see what Satan is doing to you. You are not doing something to a man. You are fighting against God, who wants to reconcile himself with you, and who wants to make you a means of reconciliation in the world. Many of the children of God do not give importance to the work of God. You are so busy in your life, you have no time for prayer or connecting with God. And I'm telling you, this is the work of Satan in your life. You need to clearly distinguish what is going on in my life. Satan does not want you to connect to God. He does not want you to serve God. He does not want you to have a time of fellowship. He wants to keep you away. And many times he is successful. Many times you're successful. You cannot even take some time and sit in God's presence and pray and come to God in the way that he wants you to. I want you to think about this life, about your own life, and how close you are to God. How connected you are to God in your day-to-day life. I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm talking about the rest of the 6 days of the week. How connected are you to God? How connected are you to serving him, listening to him, walking in his ways, doing his work, spending your time in fellowship, and in feasting before the Lord? Jesus came to deliver you from this present evil age. No matter how great the technology is, today this age is evil. I'm not afraid to tell that. We are living in a wicked place where everything is available for us from the smartphone. Click a few words and you can do everything. You can see everything. You can talk to anybody. You can do anything you want through a gadget that has been brought in our hands. And we don't have time to go for God. We don't have time to connect to God in hearing from God, speaking to God, and walking in godly ways. And this is the work of Satan. Hallelujah. We come to the third stage here. Pharaoh gave permission to sacrifice in the wilderness, not very far away. He said, okay. Look to Exodus 8:28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only don't go very far away. And also do one more thing. Intercede for me also. You see the work of Satan. When I was thinking about it and imagining this, What was Pharaoh ready to do was, he said, I will lengthen the chain that I put on your life, but I'm not going to, but it's still a chain. I'm not going to let the chain go. I'm still connected to you. You can go a little more into the wilderness, but you are still under my control. Let me speak a word to everyone here. When you are a child of God, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new in your life. You cannot be connected to the world and serve God at the same time. You cannot serve mammon and God at the same time. That's what Jesus said. You can have only one master. And we need to decide who that master is going to be. There has to be a complete separation from Egypt. And that was the plan of God. But Satan said, go little more. Okay, you can go out of Egypt, but go into the wilderness, but not too far away, because I still want to have a control over you. Then number four, we come to the fourth place where Pharaoh gives permission to men only. He said, let the men go and serve God. The women, children, you all stay back. Let the men go. Exodus chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, that's the portion we read. He said, go now, you who are men. Just the men. I will let the men go. But your children, your wives, your livestock, they are going to be here. You know, this is a cunning trick of Satan. Permitting and letting the men go, but leaving the families behind. And that's something that we need to understand. What God's plan is that a family should serve together in the house of God. As Joshua said in chapter 24 verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God wants you and your family to serve the Lord. So if one of your family members have not come to the Lord, this is a time that you need to ask God, Lord, my husband, my wife, my child is not saved. I am going to cry till he comes or she comes to the Lord. This is your responsibility, that you need to intercede to God and ask for their salvation. Because the plan of God is that we will serve God as a family, not half the family. How many of you agree with me? Can I see your hands? Amen. The plan of God is that you serve God as a family. As a father, mother, children. You serve God as a family. But he said, no, no, no. Keep the men here. Let the men go. Let the women and everybody. Then we come to the fifth what, which was the final thing. In Pharaoh gave, the fifth one, Pharaoh gave permission. Everybody you go, okay, the people go, but don't take the cattle with you. Exodus 10:24 says, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herd be kept back. Take your little ones also. He says, you all go, but leave your goods behind. All your money. All those days the livestock was part of the wealth of the people. He said, you go, but let your wealth remain. Today also the logic is that if Pharaoh could not induce the people of Israel to sacrifice in Egypt, he would send them to somewhere without any means to sacrifice. Because when they sacrifice, they would require animals to be sacrificed. And Pharaoh said, you don't need to take the animals. You go and do it. Go and sacrifice. And that is a sad part of it. Many of us, our wealth is lying elsewhere. They don't come into God's kingdom. God gives us even enough and more, but our hands never open up to give to God's kingdom. And this is the trick of Satan. And I'm speaking to you today. Every part of our life should be open for the work of the kingdom of God, including the money that God has given. The New Testament does not speaks more than tithe. It says everything that I have belongs to God. Everything. And we need to give cheerfully to the work of God. But Satan, many times he will prevent you from bringing the money that you have into God's kingdom. You can use any excuse as you want, but the word of God is very clear. He wants that also to be a part of your sacrifice. Finally, number six, we see that he gave permission. There was no way, because Moses was continuing to go there. He gave permission for everybody to leave Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, and we have the verse here highlighted. Chapter 12 verse 31 and 32. See what Pharaoh says. Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, Go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds. And you have said, and be gone and bless me also. You know, I'm just telling you that the tactics that Satan is using us to get away from God. Let me talk to each of you this morning. You have been brought to this place in Charlotte just not to go to a job and come back and enjoy your life. God has a greater purpose for you. It's high time that you understand God's purpose in your life. Brother and sister, I'm telling you lovingly, God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. God wants you to be reconciled, and God wants you to serve Him with our hearts open, that we will serve Him in that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want us to think about our lives and how much are we under the trap of the devil. I'm just telling you, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is walking around. He is looking for loopholes to get into your life. And many times he does that. He will get into your life. He will try to break up your marriage. He will try to break up the relationship that you have with your children. He will try to break up the relationship that you have with God, with other people. He is always on the lookout. And if you allow yourself to be open to the influence of Satan, you will be like Judas Iscariot, who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, but his heart was open to the money, and he allowed himself to be tempted to sell Jesus for these many pieces of silver. Hallelujah. That day you cannot boast and say, Lord, I've been coming to the church all these years, because if your heart has been swayed away by Satan, if Satan has the authority over you, you will allow yourself to be taken in by Satan. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to surrender before God. We should not be ignorant of the devices of God. Can we all just stand up on our feet? I want the worship team to come forward, and they're going to lead us in worship. I want everybody to stand up and bow your heads for a moment. As I'm speaking to your life this morning, I want to tell every brother and sister this morning, the Lord, this is the word of the Lord for you. Have you consecrated your life to God completely? If there are any parts of your life, Satan can take that loophole. He can take that weak link. He can get into your life. Hallelujah. And Satan will use anything to distract you. Today, Satan will use anything to distract you. Every eyes closed. I want us to turn our eyes to the Lord. Can we just thank the Lord today? Kartave, Lord, thank you, Father, Lord, that you delivered me from Egypt. I think almost every one of us has accepted Jesus Christ in our heart. God has delivered us, but I want you to ask you, are you still in the clutches of Pharaoh? Are you still in the clutches of Satan? If so, you need to confess and say, Lord, I want to surrender myself to you. Lord, I want to give myself to you. I want to be your vessel, Lord. I want to totally surrender before you. Hallelujah. Let's all pray together. Everybody pray together as we're going to sing the Lord. Can you just pray, Lord, protect me, Father? Everyone, close your eyes and pray to the Lord. Lord, protect me from the evil one. Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Lord, deliver me and protect me, Father. I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to be reconciled to you. I want to honorably go before you, Lord.